Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
And we are live at the Voices of New Africa. Excuse me, I'm having a little technical difficulty with the computer, with the software, with the technology. But we have a great show lined up for you today. My name is Brother Prophecy, a.k.a. Yera Amati. And you are listening to the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of New African people. And today we have a good topic today, an excellent topic. You know, I overheard this conservative personality responding to something someone said. They were talking about the distribution of wealth, or the disproportionate amount of the distribution of wealth in America, well, really globally. It was talking about poverty. And this guy, you might have heard of him. His name is Rush Limbaugh. And he basically responded with, he said, well, the reason why so much poverty and all of those type of things, he was basically saying that was just a byproduct of freedom. It was a byproduct of capitalism. And I thought that was really interesting to me. Not that I follow Rush Limbaugh or anything like that. I think he's an idiot. But it was interesting because I halfway agree with him on one point. Poverty and the distribution of wealth, or the disproportionate amount of the distribution of wealth, is a result of capitalism. But I don't necessarily agree that is freedom. Because if you think about it, in our educational system, in the broader European American ideological, philosophical mindset or thought process, We are taught that capitalism is synonymous with freedom. That in order to have freedom, you have to have capitalism. You have to have free enterprise. You have to have an open market. This is what we have been taught. And I don't necessarily agree with that. Because if you look at what has resulted from this global system, this global economic system, look at what it has produced. I mean, today, the top 1% of the world's population, top 1%, control almost 50% of the world's wealth. The top 10% of the world's population control over 90% of the world's wealth. That leaves 90% of the population, the overwhelming majority of the people on planet Earth, to struggle, to fight, to strive, to compete for the remaining 10% of the world's wealth. And people wonder why there is so much crime, poverty, violence in the world. You know, we have a situation where we have 50% of the world's population, over 3 billion people, well over 3 billion people, who survive on only $2.50 per day. So this is what this global system of capitalism has produced. So what is capitalism? And I'm going to open up to our brilliant minds. Like we said, this is the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of New African people. Well, you will hear some of the brightest minds in the New African community. But before I open it up to our brilliant guests, what is capitalism? Capitalism is an economic system, a global economic system, in which the means of production, the industry, the distribution of wealth are all controlled by the individual. It's privatized, controlled by individual corporations. And the purpose for this system is to gain maximum profit for the ruling elite. for the ruling class, the so-called bourgeoisie. Now, this profit is gained at the expense and exploitation of everybody else, the working class, the proletariat. So this is what we want to discuss today, capitalism. Is capitalism freedom for the people or exploitation of the people? And I see I have my sister Sa'aksa online. So Sister Sa'aksa, are you there?
Yes, free to land, brother.
Free to land, I am, I will. So what do you think? Is capitalism freedom for the people or exploitation of the people?
Well, capitalism is most definitely exploitation of the people, like you just said. When you explained it, it sounded like a big game, honestly. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, it's a system set up on the planet where the ruling elite have control of all the resources. You have all of these people, billions of people, fighting and working and striving to get a little bit of piece of the resources. It's a big game. You know what I mean? It's a real game, but it's a big game. All I see is, for some reason, a game, you know, and we're falling for it. Every single day we fall for it. It's like a game we can't escape, you know.
Exactly.
Or we're striving to escape, or trying to figure out how to escape, or trying to figure out our way through this game where all the rules is already set up.
And these are extremely.
Go ahead.
No, I was saying, and these are extremely deadly games, because these are games that are played with people's lives. You look at what happens globally, on a global level. Look at all of the wars. People, you know, you can say the mass media, our educational system, can claim that that these wars are about ideologies and people's thoughts and beliefs and religion or whatever they say. But the reality is that all wars are fought over land, resources, and labor, really. When you look at the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, the war, all of the wars over the planet, and is based on the exploitation of the natural resources of these lands. European powers, American powers, are invading countries so they can gain access to the resources of people's land, and millions of people are dying over that. In the underlying purpose, and first of all, they're not sending their children. The ruling elite are not sending their children over there to fight. They're sending the poor people of the Americas, the poor people of Europe, to go out and secure land and resources for the ruling elite to make the rich richer. So I agree. This is a big game, but it is a deadly game, a game that causes the lives of millions of people every day. I want to hear something from Sister Ayodele. Ayodele, are you on the line?
Good morning, Brother Fidelan.
Fidelan, I am, I will. What do you think? Is capitalism freedom for the people or exploitation of the people?
Well, it definitely is exploitation, and when we want to put it into an African perspective, it is something that the people of this land were liberated themselves from a mother country, and they took over that particular role that capitalism played during that time with Great Britain. So we're over here as a result of an economic system that was put on this land after they decimated the indigenous people of this land. They brought in a new labor source. That labor source was us. It was based on money. And as we were being exploited and building up a whole empire, they put in the whole concept of racism and white supremacy. And with those two systems battling against us all these generations, they've decimated the people. They have conquered a people, not only in the indigenous, but the African. The African has been conquered. However, throughout all of his attempts at conquering, he was still expanding to the rest of the world. And when you look at the rest of the world, because of the enslavement of African people, the majority of the people in those lands now look like African people, along with indigenous people. So when you look at a whole capitalistic system, it is really about the oppression of people, the majority, not everybody, I'm not saying everybody, but the majority of the people that look like us, that are in the Caribbean, that are in South America, Central America, and here, and then as well as Africa. We're talking about the exploitation of a majority of the people by a small set of people who happen to be Caucasoid in their nature. And they have they're building systems to oppress us every day, killing us off. The people who built this land.
Exactly.
So
I think it's important.
Exploited.
Yes, I think it's important that we understand how capitalism evolved to where it is today, because capitalism, as you said, you know, it's an evolution of the system of enslavement. You know, slavery was an economic system based on free labor, based on the enslavement, the forced labor of our ancestors, our African ancestors. And this white supremacy came about as a justification and an enforcement to an economic system based on exploiting people based on their race. And when
Absolutely.
when in the end of slavery, so-called slavery, when that was over, when African people were emancipated, supposedly, slavery didn't just go away. It evolved to what we have today, which is this global capitalist system, a monopoly capitalism. So you're absolutely right. It is especially detrimental to people of color, non-white people, non-European people, because it evolved from a system that was based on the exploitation of non-white people. But before we get too far out, I definitely want to speak to my brother Fadali. Fadali, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Brother Fadali, what do you think? Is capital free land, brother?
Free land. I am, I will.
Free land, yes, sir, I am, I will. So, is capitalism freedom for the people or exploitation of the people?
Capitalism is definitely exploitation of the people. We must begin to understand that capitalism would not exist in any form if it were not for the poverty of what we call today Europe. And Europe went outside itself and began to conquer other lands and other peoples, and then ultimately out of the wealth that they acquired from that land and those people, they were able to accumulate capital. Europe did not have capital. Capital, we're talking about industry, we're talking about machines, we're talking about all kinds of things that would lead to so-called, what we call development. Europe was highly underdeveloped. Europe went into other areas of the world that were developed and conquered those areas and were able to take over the property and wealth of those countries. But if we go look at it, Karl Marx described it in terms of saying that without the conquering, the enslavement of African people, without the conquering of places like India and China, you would not have any development called capitalism. It's in a book called Das Kapital, which capitalists themselves have studied and have improved the system of capitalism based on his study. And so we got to begin to understand that when we talk about capitalism, it is totally exploited system that's based on slavery and the conquering of other areas of the world. And if slavery was the essential point of the development of what we call capitalism today. Let me say this. We have not always been confused about capitalism. Matter of fact, in the 1960s and the 1970s, where we thought that we were having a revolution in America, but revolution was in in all areas of the world, in Vietnam, in Cuba, and we can name countries, North Korea, China. People began to understand capitalism was a totally exploited, you know, system. It is only when in the last 20 years that capitalism has been able to recover to the point of convincing the people that capitalism is freedom, that capitalism is good, and that we must all become capitalists. They've run a great propaganda campaign on their behalf, and now they got people thinking that capitalism is good. So we have not always been fuzzy about capitalism, because when we look at the conditions of our people throughout the world, I think that Sister Ayadele talked about the African people in terms of, because African people are the most exploited, are the most oppressed. Are the most, if you look at every condition of Africa and African people throughout the world, and you know, in the Caribbean and in the United States and all the places where we are located, we are at the bottom. And one thing also Mark said is the pedestal, Africa is the pedestal on which capitalism stands, which capitalism was able to develop. And we got to understand that the imperialist forces of Europe went in and created capitalism. Capitalism is parasitic. It cannot exist without having all these outside areas in which they're controlling, and also it's parasitic. It's imposed its economic and social system on other peoples of the world. So when they went to different places, they always had the Catholic priest or the Protestant the minister or the missionary with them, so that they could take over the people's culture, or destroy the people's culture, destroy their religion, destroy their belief, destroy their history. And so consequently, they were able to go in and conquer those countries. And out of capitalism, in that sense, you had colonialism and what we call modern imperialism, which is monopoly capitalism, which we're talking about the white supremacy. We're talking about the super rich and the rich. We're talking about the Fords, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. If you name any rich family, you're going to find that they have an origin in stealing African labor. And we got to understand that capitalism, that all wealth comes from labor. So capitalists were able to force labor upon the various indigenous people in the world, particularly African people, and were able to go in those lands and take it over. And then they created what Malcolm called cultural imperialism, which means that they were able to convince these people to become their customers, become their consumers. And so therefore you have a whole consumption. And then other thing about capitalism is it created money. And money became the god of capitalism, to the point of where people worship money, and Malcolm X called it dollarism. And dollarism began to take over other countries through so-called foreign aid. And so now we see that a handful of families, a handful of countries, basically European, have taken over the global economy of the world. And that we got to understand that it's not only just a economic system, but it's a social economic system, which has, like you said, led the people to become blindly thinking that every individual can become rich. It's based on, I think you said, Brother Prophecy, private property. You know, so therefore, you're going to privatize everything. You're going to take over everything. And so all the resources that should belong to the people, like water and the land and everything, has been taken into private hands. And so therefore, they are able to demonize any kind of collective enterprise that's going to benefit the people. But they were also forced to do certain things that would bring to the people certain benefits because of the struggle. Okay.
All right. Okay. All right, yeah. Brother. As always, excellent insight. I want to hear from my brother, K. Kakai. Kakai, are you on the line, brother?
Free the land, brother. You're right. Yes, I am.
I am my will. Free the land, brother. Brother, what do you think? You know, you've heard all of us talk. You've heard us talk about how mainstream European-American ideological philosophical thought tells us that capitalism is synonymous with freedom. So, you know, let me pose a question to you like I pose to everyone else. Is capitalism freedom for the people, or is it exploitation of the people? What do you think?
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you for the question. And I admire all your callers today because they have some great insight on what capitalism is all about. Personally, I like to be able to connect with masses and give them a fundamental basis on what capitalism is, because as time went on and the terminology evolved, they have used trickery with the language to develop connotative meanings of the word to confuse the masses. Basically, from the fundamental level, capitalism is capitalizing on the labor of the people, on the resources of the land, and exploiting those people and exploiting the resources. So they, as a small group of people, can dominate the wealth. And when you look at the word capitalism today and you start trying to take part in that system, the first thing they ask you for is startup capital. And the connotative meaning of that, to confuse us, you want to think that capital is money. But really, the money that you get to start up any business in capitalism is the resources or the dollar that has been developed or gained or collected from exploiting the people and their labor, capitalizing on their labor. So any capital that you have to start up a business has come from the blood and sweat of people. So that's why it's really capital, because it's a part of the whole capitalist system. You have these elite Europeans today using capital, which is money that they've gotten from the blood and sweat and tears of our people, to start a mass consumption of buying land in the Amazon, buying the land in the Amazon that they're buying it for the water. They're buying the water resources in Texas. They're buying water resources all around the world with their capital. They're capitalizing on the resources now. They have capitalized enough on the so-called labor to become forever wealthy. And now they're deciding who they want to capitalize on. You can open up the borders and bring in people that have worked for $7.25 an hour and get rid of the bottom feeders, who they call us, the Africans that are here in the so-called United States of America, and they have put some more bottom feeders in to capitalize on their labor. So basically, they're using us like livestock. They're capitalizing on our labor. That's the fundamental reason or explanation or definition of what capitalism is. It is an economic system, but it has to be developed from a foundation of capitalizing on the people, labor, and the resources. So no, there is no freedom in capitalism if you're part of the masses of the people, because you have no access to the wealth. And if you do get into this system and you have to start up a business with startup capital, you're perpetuating the system, because you're making sure that you have somebody that's exploiting people to give you the benefits of it to start off another industry to help perpetuate this system. So it's a vicious cycle, and we have to understand that it's not a part of a community or communism or a communal society that believes in sharing the wealth and the resources. It is not freedom. We have to get that in our heads, brother. And if I can't explain it any better than that, that's the fundamental definition of it.
Interesting that you said capitalism is based on capitalizing on people's labor, because You know, what came to mind is, you know, if we understand, you know, the origins of capitalism, it originated in the exploitation of our people globally, and slavery being an economic system that was based on free labor, and from that eventually evolved into what we have today. And if you look at our current in the U.S. economy now, the way the U.S. economic system is set up, a lot of people don't understand this, but the U.S. has a what's called a fiat system. This means that it's not our money, the U.S. dollars, are not backed up in gold, diamond, and silver, or any real natural resources that's based on anything of value. It's not backed up in anything. So, in essence, in the United States, the Federal Reserve, and first of all, the people who print up the United States money is not they're not federal. This is a private institution owned by the World Bank. The Federal Reserve is private. It's not federal. That's why when you have on our dollar bill, it says Federal Reserve note, because it's a bill, because the Federal Reserve prints up these dollars, and then they loan them out to the U.S. government with interest. So every dollar that is in circulation into the economy has to be paid back to the Federal Reserve with interest. Therefore, there can never be a debt-free. We can never be out of debt, because the very nature of creation of money, of the dollar, the physical dollars in the U.S. economy, is by creating debt. So within the whole nature, it's a big game, because the dollars are not even real money. That's why you have so much conflict and disorder in places in the continent, in Africa, in different places around the world, where they actually have natural resources, where they actually have things of value, because Europeans are fighting, doing everything that they can to gain the resources of those nations. So they can continue to add on to their real wealth and have us fighting over this fiat money, this money, you know, that's not even worth the dollar that it's printed on, which is really debt, because money in America is actually debt. And we're running out of time. But before we close this up, well, I see I have another caller online. Okay. I have a caller from number 644. Carl, are you there?
I'm here.
Who am I speaking to?
This is Wallace Redd.
Brother,
my
man,
name is
how
Wallace
you doing?
Redd. I'm fantastic,
how
man.
How you
great.
Doing? All
I'm
right,
good,
all right.
Man.
All right, I see you're the lad. You're a new caller. So, what do you think? Is capitalism freedom for the people, or is it exploitation of the people? What are your thoughts?
Capitalism. Oh
yes,
man,
sir.
Listen, it's a very broad and complicated topic, and capitalism, it's tied into business, I see it. But it's problematic because the definition of capitalism is to get as much as you can at whatever cost it takes to get it.
Yes, sir.
So it's
yes,
it's problematic, yeah. Is this
yes,
a yay lady?
This is Yay Ra, brother. Yay Ra,
okay.
Brother Prophecy.
You sound like a brother.
Brother Yay Ray from from Brother's Keeper.
Yeah.
We're good friends.
Yeah, but I basically this is my first time calling. I just basically
okay,
called
well,
to listen today.
Oh, okay. No problem. We appreciate you calling in. But before
tell you
we
what
get
you
out of here,
what?
I won't. No, I just said I appreciate you calling in. Yeah, but you can continue to listen.
I will.
Yeah, before we get out of here, because we're running out of time, I want to get an opportunity to talk about some solutions, because we always talk about the problems. We have to give some solutions. So briefly, I'm going to go around the panel, and we're going to talk about some solutions. What can we do? I'm going to start with you, Sister Solange. Are you still on? Sister Sa, you still there?
Yes.
So we have this economic system that is devastating, that is detrimental to the people, that benefits the ruling elite at the expense of
really, you know, everyone else. So what can we do to remedy this?
Well,
what are your
thoughts? The biggest remedy is we know the fact that this particular economic system, the fabric of it is slavery. So that we can't change that. That is what it is. So we're going to have to step out of this particular system and create our own system, a social system where everybody shares the resources and lives together in harmony and can fulfill their purpose here on the planet freely. That's the only solution. And while we're still within this system, we have to realize everything has been destroyed. Like Brother Fadali said, our religion, our culture, all of these different things that have been stolen from us, we need to get it back and stop feeding into the propaganda that is controlling our minds, taking our minds totally off of the resources, getting our minds on technology and all of this, taking us far from the resources, which create all the technology and all of the different things. So we have to get our minds on what it is that we need as a people, period. Reclaim our name, reclaim our minds, reclaim our children, reclaim our land, we have to get it back. We have to step out of this system and build for self.
All right. Well said. Right. I'm just going to keep on going around. Sister Iodelli, you still there?
Yes, but
Sister
I'm
Iodelli.
Still
here. So what do you think? What are some potential solutions to this issue, this problem of this economic system of capitalism? What are your thoughts on that, sir?
Well, I concur with what Sister Sa says, and just to reiterate that we have to step out of the system. When I say step out, that's on all levels, mentally, spiritually, economically. Step out of the system. Understand who your enemy is. Institute some codes of behavior so that we can reclaim our African minds, because you can't continue to be a part of this system and want to change the system. You have to actually know the forms in which capitalism takes and be able to say that is not good for our people. It is not good for our spirit. It is not good for our children's children's children. So we have to institute the principles of the Nguzo Saba, the seven principles of blackness. We have to have codes of behavior, but we have to understand that also, we have to deal with self, because we are part of a movement to liberate ourselves from capitalism and to change ourselves into a more egalitarian, a more sharing type of community. And it's going to be a lot of work. Those are some of the things. That's the work that has to be done. Our call is, where are the soldiers who are supposed to defend and protect the race? And what do you have to do to do that? Because we have our legacy, our children's children's children cannot be a part of this system. So what are the solutions, family?
Well said. Brother Kakai, you still on the line? You still here, brother?
Yes,
Brother
Kakai here. Yeah.
All right, brother. Go ahead.
Well, to make the point clear and concise and to the point, in order for us to do all the things that are necessary for us to get out of this system, to be able to understand and recognize what's best for our community, for our people, for the masses of the people that are going through this hell in capitalism, we must begin to really understand the philosophy of revolutionary politics, having our own nation, period. Because once we have our own nation, the things that we need to do for ourselves will be done amongst us, because we'll work together to accomplish those goals. While we're in this system, it's going to be difficult to determine our destiny and have self-determination in a system that's designed to exploit us, destroy us, and oppress us. So let's talk about the solution as far as getting our own nation, developing a camaraderie and a community that knows about the Republic of New Africa, and that we need to develop this nation in order for us to enact any ideas we have to turn things around in this system that we call capitalism.
Well said, brother. Well said. In the final word, I'm going to go to my brother Fadali. You still there, Brother Fadali?
Yes, I still am. And so, therefore, following Brother Kakaye, all power is based upon control of land, and we don't have control of land. But I want to say also that we must understand socialism, scientific socialism. We must study it. We must understand that there's another alternative economic system that must be built. That is socialism. Because capitalism, we just can't say capitalize, because if we say capitalize, it's like saying socialize. No, we're talking about systems. We're talking about a global system. We're talking about contending with a global system. And to overthrow that global system, you must have another economic system that is going to benefit the people, and that is socialism. We call it scientific socialism. And then we will have to have the new African nation, but ultimately also we must have an all-African socialist government in Africa, because where are the resources ultimately that African people throughout the world must control in order to overthrow the capitalist system? We must have a land base that is, you know, that would allow us to be able to serve the people and serve the people of the world. If we can do Africa, if we can liberate Africa, then we can liberate the whole world. And that's why we say we are pan-African, you know, nationalists. Yeah, we are nationalists, you know, that we're also pan-Africanists. Because under the Republic of New Africa, the land base that we want to do in America, everywhere we are, we got to seize control of it. We got to seize control of Jamaica. We got to seize control of all the other islands in the Caribbean, of Haiti, and particularly the so-called 55 states on the continent of Africa. Because if we don't do that, then we will not be able to overthrow capitalism. And we must begin to understand that we must eliminate the neo-colonialist puppets who consciously are participating in the oppression and exploitation of our people. And so consequently, you know, we got to build socialism. Socialism has to be built into the minds of the people so that people understand clearly what socialism is, that we have a base for it in Africa under communalism, in which the land and all the resources are owned by all the people. But we got to establish the socialist state. And if we look at examples, we can see Cuba as one of the shining examples of what you can even do under socialism, even when you are in privation, where they are doing everything they can to overthrow Cuba. And Cuba has one of the best health systems in the world, serving the people of Cuba and not charging them, you know, exorbitant prices like we have under capitalism in America. So we've got to begin to be clear about that. And that way, I think we'll have the answer.
Well said. Well, I want to thank all of my guests, all of the excellent comments and solutions. And I will end by saying this. We're taught in school and under the mainstream philosophical, ideological thought process of the European and American society that capitalism is synonymous with freedom. That in order to have freedom, you have to have capitalism. But when carefully analyzing and studying this economic system, you see that this economic system is devastating for humanity. It's not designed to make sure that everyone is okay. This system was designed to gain maximum profit for the ruling elite at the expense of everyone else, expense and exploitation. It's not designed to make sure that everyone's okay. It's not designed to get rid of poverty. It creates poverty. It's not designed to get rid of crime because it creates crime and then it profits from the imprisonment of African people in the prison industrial complex. It wasn't designed to get rid of disease because it creates disease from the unhealthy food, the FDA, the food industry that sprays chemicals and modifies your food and genetically modify their products that causes all types of disease within the people for a profit. And then they send you to a medical field that only pumps you full of drugs that makes you sicker than the underlying ailment that you're coming to be treated for. In order for humanity to rise, this system, this economic system, must fall. The system of
imperialism, the system of capitalism, the system of neocolonialism. We have to separate from this system and create a new. We have to gain our own nation. But once we gain our own nation, once we acquire the land in which we control, we can't implement the same system, because if we do, we're going to get the same results. But until we get our own nation, right now, we can implement some of the programs in which our ancestors, some of our elders, many of them ancestors, have left. I was at a Kwanzaa program, and that particular day was UJAMA. Cooperative economics. See, already within our culture, our ancestors have laid the foundation for us. All we have to do is pick it up, to study it, to analyze it, and implement it. My name is Brother Prophecy. We thank you for joining us every week here at 10 o'clock on the Voices of New Africa. Join us again next week, Sunday. Free the land.
Free the land. I am, I will.
Free the land. I am, I will.